We are in the book of Mark. I decided that I would listen to someone preach a little bit about the book of Mark. He'd been preaching verse by verse through it. And he made the statement that he had been in the book of Mark for 34 months. You know how long that is? Almost 3 years. Aren't you glad it don't take me 3 years to get through the book of Mark? Amen. And I say enough without spending 3 years doing it. Amen. But after I listened to him about 5 minutes, had all I could take and seen why it took him 3 years to get where he was. Amen. But we're in the book of Mark, chapter 16, the last chapter. In fact, this is the shortest chapter in St. Mark, 20 verses. Did you know the Bible scholars? I'm glad I got a Bible. I don't have to listen to a bunch of Bible scholars. The Bible scholars say that verse 8 is the last verse in Mark 16. That the rest of the verses are not in the original manuscript. Well, I really could care less either way. As long as it's between these pages of this book, I'm going to preach it. Amen. As long as it's in this Bible, I'm going to preach it all. And I believe that all 20 verses are inspired of God. Amen. God breathed. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to begin reading with verse 1 through 14. And we'll get into the message. Got some sweet stuff and some special things for you this morning. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome. Now, Salome is the wife of Zebedee, which is the mother of James and John, the sons of thunder. And they brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great or heavy. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils out. And she went and told them that he had been with him, told the disciples, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they didn't believe her. After that, he appeared in another form unto the two of them as they walked and went into the country. That is the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. After he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief, Jesus did, and the hardness of their heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And that's in John 20 and Luke 24, when Jesus meets them in the upper room. I want to use for a subject this morning, the stone is rolled away. You may be seated. The stone is rolled away. Before we get started getting into some preaching, I just want to lay down a good solid foundation starting out. Now, it's early in the morning. The Bible says it's the first day of the week. Jesus Christ arose from the grave somewhere between Saturday at 6:30 into Sunday morning, because the first day of the week begins after the sundown on the Sabbath. It's from sundown down to sundown on the Sabbath. And so Jesus arose from the grave on the first day of the week. Now I want to remind everybody, the Sabbath is the seventh day. The Sabbath is a Jewish Sabbath, and it's the seventh day. They have that because God said he rested on the seventh day, and he wanted the people of Israel to rest on the seventh day to honor the Lord. But remember, the Sabbath day is for the old creation. Sunday, the first day, is for the new creation. Always remember that. It's real important that you understand that. In those days, they did not have, I'm talking about when Jesus walked the earth, they didn't have Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. In fact, they begin their count after the seventh day, which would be Saturday, the Sabbath, and they would call Sunday the first day, Monday the second day, Wednesday, the third day, and so on. And that's how they numbered their day of the week. It wasn't Monday through Saturday or Sunday through Saturday. It was first day. And the first day is Sunday. Jesus Christ arose from the grave on a new creation. And ever since then, he's been doing a new creation. See, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the he was done in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. Not that God was tuckered out, but that it was no more needed to be done. It was a job well done. And so God rested on the seventh day. Now, Jesus Christ is starting a new creation. And just as God started the old creation on the first day, Jesus Christ starts the new creation on the first day. But the Sabbath is the Sabbath for the old Jewish covenant, and Sunday is the Lord's day. Now, I just wanted to say that because you're going to meet people that's going to fuss with you about what day you go to church. Well, I'm not going to fuss about it because I'm just glad you come to church. I don't really care what day you come. Just come. Amen. Amen. And so it's very important that we understand all of this. Now, I'm going to share some things with you this morning that you maybe have never considered. And I hope you haven't, because I want to twist your theological arm a little bit, okay? And I want you, before we're done, I want you yodeling, giving in to the Word of God. Did you know, as you read the Scriptures, and you have Mark chapter 16, then you have Matthew chapter 28, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. This is the story of the resurrection. And Mark doesn't give a lot of detail about the resurrection because Mark is just making some statements and he's bang, 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 he's going right on. And a lot of that stuff is missed, but you need to read the whole chapter 28 of Matthew, the whole chapter of this chapter 16 of Mark, the whole chapter of Luke 24, and the whole chapter of John 20 to really get a good focus on the resurrection. Now, let me just simply say, they were two angels. Sometimes they saw one, sometimes they saw two. I got news for you. They were more than two angels. They were probably zillions of angels. I don't believe only two angels showed up for such a grand occasion. I believe only two of them got to talk. Only two of them probably got to show their appearance. Now, a lot of people think it's the one that came down from heaven and busted the stone away, and he was like lightning and glistering as the sun. They believe he was the only spokesman. But I'm going to show you that the young man in white was an angel as well, and he was giving them a tour of the tomb. He gave them a tour of the empty tomb. In fact, that's the first tour of the empty tomb. And so we need to understand that both of these angels spoke. You say, well, they said the same thing. Well, angel means messenger. And if they have a message to give, then they are going to say the same thing. I get tickled with the one that came down from heaven and descended and boy, boom, and the stone rolls away, and he is so lightning fast and so glorious. Find this in Matthew chapter 28. He comes down, boom, and the stone is rolled away, and the ground shakes, and the earthquake comes, and the guards that were guarding that tomb of Jesus Christ, they quaked with fear. They shook them up. They were so scared to move. They were scared. They were petrified. They couldn't move because they were so scared of this angelic creature that came down from heaven and busted the stone plumb out of the tomb of Jesus Christ. And that was done before daylight. In fact, that was done before the women got there. Now, notice there's a lot of Marys in this story. And there's a Mary Mary here and a Mary Mary there and a Mary Mary everywhere. Everywhere Mary Mary, Mary Mary Mary. But that's okay, because you have one of the most popular names anybody could ever have, and one of the most precious names, Mary. If I wasn't a man, I'd ask to be named Mary. But I'm a man, so I'm going to pass. My name James is all right, don't you? But anyway, I want you to get an understanding of what took place on the resurrection morning. Now, the Bible says that the first day of the week, the women came. Now, according to Luke chapter 24, verse 1, that says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Notice there was more than just three or four women. There were certain others with them. No men was in this crowd, because men were not allowed to travel with the women. And the women were traveling to go take spices to the tomb of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says there were other women as well that went to that tomb. Some of these women saw the angel, some did not. Mary Magdalene did not see the angel until she returned the second time. And I want to explain to you about her returning the second time. It's always a thrill when you think about how the Bible weaves together. If you think you can read the Bible just there, I'm done, I read it. You're in for a shock of your life, because you can go back and read it the next time and it's going to say, you're going to go, wow, I didn't see that. Because this Bible is living, it's breathing, it's alive. Amen? Sometimes I just look at my Bible and see if I can see the pages moving. It's alive. He said, that's silly. It isn't silly if you love the Word of God. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ makes these pages alive. And I'm glad that Jesus makes preaching alive. Amen. And so I just want to share some things that I think are vital to the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to, if you don't mind, and I'm just going to share with you some things that the Lord has laid on my heart. Now, the women were coming to put spices on the body of Jesus Christ. The truth is, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, beat them to it. In fact, Mary put the spices on Jesus Christ and wiped his feet with her hair and tears, and she loved the Lord. And we preached about that earlier on in our Bible study. But have you ever stopped to consider the women never got to put the spices on Jesus? So Mary got it. Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha, beat all the women to it. Let me say this right now. Don't hang around and say, well, maybe the Lord will use me someday. Get on the move. You're going to be left out. Come on, don't drag your feet. You'll be left out. Amen. Get in there and go. Because when they got there, the stone was rolled away. Now, the women were asking the question, there's a stone there. How can, you know, who's going to roll away the stone? Now, let's see this as it unfolds, because it's important that you see how it unfolds. The women have about a 2-mile journey to go from Bethany to the tomb. A 2-mile walk or run or skip, 2 miles in the night, but it's not totally dark because it's the Passover and there's a full moon. And because there's a full moon and the clouds clear, and they're walking along and the stars look like, anybody been out at, on a winter night or even a summer night, and the stars just look like you could reach up and grab them? Yeah, just thought they were so close, it seemed. Yet they were trillions of miles away, but yet you think they're so close. And that's the kind of night it was. So they traveled, I believe, without torch, without fire, without lamps. They traveled on the way to the tomb. 2-mile journey, but Mary Magdalene beat them there. In fact, according to St. John chapter 20, verse 1, Mary Magdalene went there, and when she got to the tomb, it was still dark. That's what it says. John chapter 20, verse 1 says, when Mary got to the tomb, it was still dark. So she beat the other women to the tomb. Now what happens is Mary gets close to the tomb and she freaks out. Because as she gets closer to the tomb, she sees, wait a minute, the stone is not there. It's rolled away. Wait a minute, the stone's gone. Somebody has came and stole the body of Jesus Christ. Now, let's get honest. Who would want to steal a dead body? That's ridiculous. Amen? And so she thought, well, they've came and ransacked the tomb. And without getting up closer to see what had happened, she turned her heels around, her sandals, and ran back to Peter and John, according to John chapter 20, and told them, hey, the Lord is not in the tomb. They've taken his body. They've stole the body of Jesus Christ. He's not there. And Peter and John, they just said, whoa. You see, the men wasn't even going to go to the tomb. They wasn't even going to go. The women were, but the men weren't even going to go to the tomb. They were so depressed and so distraught, they didn't even want to go. But when Mary gets there, Magdalene, and says to Peter and John, hey, the tomb's been ransacked. The body of Jesus has been taken. Well, John and Peter began a foot race. And they ran and they ran and they ran. And John outran Peter. But the Bible says that when Peter got to the tomb, John's looking in and Peter just goes right on in. Well, John says he believes. He believed when he saw the grave clothes. I mean, the grave clothes were just like they were when Nicodemus and Joseph had laid the body in the tomb. The grave clothes had not been disturbed, and the napkin around, the winding around his head had been folded and laid neatly into one place. And John says he believed that at that moment that something supernatural had taken place. I don't think he fully believed in the resurrection at that time, but he knew that something miraculous had taken place. And Peter sees it. He don't really catch on to it, and he goes on back. Well, when he goes on back, John and Peter, they go on back. Yep, he's gone. Just like a man, yep, he's not there. Let's go. And they get away from there. And Peter maybe says to John, I don't want to hang around this graveyard. Let's get out of here. And so they take off. Well, while they take off, Mary Magdalene stays behind. And Mary Magdalene is crying. And while she's crying, she looks in the tomb, and there's two angels, one sitting at the feet of where Jesus laid, and one sitting at the head where Jesus laid. And she looks at those angels and she cries and she sobs, looking in there, and someone comes up behind her. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus risen from the dead. And so Mary Magdalene, when she turns to see, she thinks that this figure in front of her, now it's still dark, pretty dark, and she looks at this figure and she thinks it's the gardener. And she says to the gardener says to Mary Magdalene, why weepest thou? What's your problem? She said, well, don't you know they've taken my Lord's body? I don't know where they took him. And so Mary Magdalene says, if you'll just tell me where the body is, I'll go get it and I'll take the body with me. And Jesus says, Mary. See, it's Jesus, not the gardener. And Jesus says, Mary. And at that moment, Mary went, woo! That's my Lord. I mean, Mary had a Baptist, Pentecostal, Lutheran, Presbyterian fit. She literally lost it. It's my Lord. And she reached to lunge for his feet, and Jesus said, "Don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Go tell the disciples I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And so she runs back to tell the disciples that she saw the Lord. During that time comes, or in between that time, you see, the other women didn't see Jesus, but they did see the angel. Now, let me explain something to you real quickly, because if you're not careful, you'll get into angel confusion here at this tomb. There's only two angels, but there was probably zillions of them around the tomb. I know I'd want to be there. If I was an angel, I'd want to see it. I wouldn't miss an all-star, he who made the stars celebration. I'd be there if I was an angel. And so the angel was there, and Mary Magdalene didn't see the angel. But the other women did see the angels. The soldiers saw the angel when he descended down to earth and made the stone roll aside. The women didn't see, Mary Magdalene didn't see the angel that the, and by the way, the soldiers had already fled before Mary Magdalene had got there, because the strong angel that came down from heaven had already busted the tomb out. Now, he didn't bust the tomb out to let Jesus out. He busted the tomb out to let the women in. Are you listening to me? Jesus was already gone. Now, I don't know whether the soldiers saw Jesus come out. I don't know. Bible doesn't say. But I guarantee you the soldiers saw this angel. Whoo, boom. And an earthquake takes place, and it terrified them to death. They froze. They run off to tell their leaders that what had happened, and them old starched, unbelieving Pharisees knew that the body was gone. Did you know it says over and over, by the Pharisees, the tomb is empty. By the soldiers, the tomb is empty. By the women, the tomb is empty. By the disciples, the tomb is empty. And by your pastor, the tomb is empty. That's one established fact. The tomb is empty. Amen. 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 The stone has been rolled away. And so some of the women seen two angels. Some of the women seen just one angel. But the women who came after Mary Magdalene had saw the two angels in the tomb, Mary Magdalene comes, she leaves, and the other women are there. And they look and see this angel on the stone, sitting on the stone, this angel. He'd busted up. And he materialized before the other women, but not Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene saw the angels in the tomb. But this angel materialized there on the stone. And this angel says, you can find this in Matthew chapter 28, this angel says to the women, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. I know who you seek. You seek Jesus of Nazareth. But he's not here." He said, "Go and tell the disciples that the Lord will meet them, Jesus will meet them in Galilee. Go tell the disciples that the Lord will meet them in Galilee. He is risen." And then that angel introduces them to the tomb and says, "Look and see where the Lord laid." And so as the women go in to look and see where the Lord laid, according to Mark chapter 16, they meet the second angel. And the second angel looks like a young man with a long flowing white garment. And they look at that angel, and the angel says, well, he gives them a tour of the empty tomb. And he shows them, this is where he laid his head. This is where he is. He's not here. And you need to go tell the disciples, because the Lord, I love the first angel that came down to the, I mean, he came, he meant business. I mean, the first angel in Matthew 28, that rascal meant, if I can call an angel a rascal, he meant business, because he came down from the starry heavens, boom, and that old stone rolled away, earthquake, quake, the soldiers were beaten, scared, terrified, and he sits there on the stone just waiting for the ladies to show up. Well, Mary Magdalene was a little preoccupied, so she didn't see that. But she did see later the two angels in the tomb, and then she saw first Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that in just a little bit, because it's important that you understand that Mary Magdalene saw Jesus resurrected first. And Peter saw Jesus resurrected first. I'm going to show you that he did. Now, Apostle Paul says that he did. And so we need to understand that when the angel said, let me go back to one angel. He comes down. He says, I know who you seek. Be not afraid. Jesus of Nazareth, he's alive. Don't seek the living among the dead. Woo! He's up. He's gone. He's going. Go tell the disciples that he'll meet him in Galilee. And then he says, there, I said it. The angel said, lo, I said it. If you don't believe that, you read the record and you'll find that the angel, it's just like he had a job to do. He busted the stone out. He opened the tomb. He waits for the ladies. The ladies show up. He says, don't be afraid. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He'll go meet the disciples over there in Galilee. Just go there and meet the Jesus. He's risen. He's alive. Go in there and look. The other angel will give you a tour of the tomb. And then he says, go and tell the disciples that the Lord will meet you in Galilee. And then he says, lo, I've said it. There, I've said it. All business. But the other angel, as a young man, now there's something we need to understand. Why did God cause the other angel to look like a young man? And I think the reason he made the other angel look like a young man is because a young man typifies perfect health. A young man typifies perfect strength. He didn't have a crippled, arthritic, asthmatic old person in the tomb. In fact, there's none of them angels exist. But he made sure that a young angel was there, vibrant. Basically, what he was saying is, in the new world, you see, to the angels, resurrection is no surprise. To the angels, life is no mystery to them. But death is a mystery to the angels. People dying is a mystery to angels. But we as human beings, death's not a mystery to us because we know people die. It's around us. But resurrection is a mystery to us. Eternal life is a mystery to us. Until you get in the Bible, thank God, and you get in the Bible and it's just exciting and thrilling, amazing, spectacular, and make you move a lot better than you are this morning, smiling more than you're doing this morning, happy more than you're being happy this morning. Amen. And so the young man gives him a tour of the, and he is a young angel. And of course, all angels are young, vibrant, powerful. They don't age. They're not. And by the way, say, how could Jesus see Mary Magdalene and turn right around and say, don't touch me? And then see the women. When the women do see Jesus, they grab him and hug him. And well, Jesus had to go to heaven, present the blood on the mercy seat in heaven, present that blood to the Father. And he got back in just a few minutes. He was back and let the women hug him and hug his feet. Why? Because in heaven, there's no time. There's no barriers. There's no markers. There's no geographical areas. In heaven, heaven's there and earth is here, and heaven is always there and heaven is everywhere, because God inhabits all of eternity. And so the angel says, you go, now that you've seen it, don't be afraid, you go and you tell the disciples and Peter. And then the Bible says they left and they were kept quiet. They didn't say a word. They took off. They were just... And somewhere after Mary Magdalene had saw Jesus, then these women, Jesus caught up with these women, and that they saw the Lord there. And he said, you go... Jesus said, now carry on. Go on. Do your work. They hugged him. They kissed him. They loved him. And then Jesus says, what did the angel tell you to do? Get. Go tell the disciples. I can just see Jesus saying that. And, you need to get on down there. You could hug me for 10,000 years, but we don't have that long. Get on down there and tell the disciples. And so somewhere, and we don't know when, Peter met Jesus. But you know, Jesus denied his Lord three times. Or Peter did. And Peter was so distraught and so, in fact, when it says he wept and he cried, it leaves the indication in the Greek that he cried till there was no more tears, dry heaves of agony because he had denied his Lord three times. And because of that, he felt like he didn't belong. Because of that, he felt like he wasn't one of the disciples anymore. He wasn't worthy to be a disciple. You know, I have no business to go to church. I fail. I'm not one of the family because I fail. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. Listen to me. You might lose grip on Jesus, but he'll never lose grip on you. And Peter may have lost his grip on Jesus, but Jesus didn't lose his grip on Peter. Isn't that good? Amen. And so I give you the first point. The first point is there were other women coming in the night. Mary Magdalene came. And if you want to know where the angel said, "Lo, I have told you," that's in Matthew 28, verse 7. And then the Bible says the first day of a great life. This is the first day. Verse 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre, that is the women, at the rising of the sun. And Mark 16, verse 9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. There it is. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast out seven devils. Also, the scripture says that after they were to go tell the disciples and Peter, you find that in verse 7 of Mark 16, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. And they returned, Luke 24, verse 34, Luke 24, verse 34, and they returned to Jerusalem saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon. Now notice in Luke 24, verse 34, they said that Jesus had appeared unto Simon. Who are these people talking? Those two men that were on the road to Emmaus. Some people believe Cleophas and his wife. I don't know, but it was two people. And they were on the road to Emmaus. And when they saw Jesus Christ, they beat it back to Jerusalem. And these two men said, these two people on the road to Emmaus said in verse 34 of Luke 24 that the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So Jesus must have told these two people on the road to Emmaus that he had already saw Jesus. Jesus had already saw Peter. He saw Peter first. Now Paul is preaching and Paul is proclaiming that he's preaching the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm preaching the gospel of the death of Christ, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, and that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. In other words, Peter saw Jesus before the other 12. Now someone says, well, why does it say 12? There was only 11. Once again, if my wife says, get that dozen of eggs out of the refrigerator, I go get a dozen carton of eggs. There may be 8 eggs in it. There may be 10 eggs in it. In this case, they were 11 eggheads in it. But it's still called the dozen. Amen? Come on. Hello? Anybody getting anything out of this? It's important that we see the unfolding of what took place. Now remember, Peter felt, notice the phrase, tell the disciples and Peter. Why? Because Peter had been shocked, destroyed, broken by his own demise. He had backslid. He had fallen from the Lord. He felt unworthy. And when that angel says, go tell the disciples and Peter, it's very clear that Jesus Christ wanted to see Peter first. Why? Because Peter needed some CPR. Peter needed some intensive care. Peter needed some therapeutic help. Hello? Did you know the first person that Paul wanted to see when he was born again on the road to Damascus and spent 3 years in the backside of the Arabian desert with Jesus Christ? Did you know the first person he wanted to see? Peter. You know why he wanted to see Peter first in Jerusalem? Because Paul was wrestling the same problem. Paul had killed Christians. Paul was a vile, evil man when his name was Saul. And Paul was having a great difficult problem with forgiveness with the Lord. And so Paul wanted to go see the man that denied the Lord that saw Jesus first. And so not only did Peter minister to Paul, but Paul ministered to Peter. And Peter, I think Peter personally told Apostle Paul some of the things that Jesus had said to him. That's in Galatians chapter 1, verse 18. And so so you do understand that Peter was raised from the dead. Peter seen Jesus raised from the dead first. Mary Magdalene, and by the way, the two biggest sinners in the bunch saw Jesus first. Hello? There's hope for you. I said, there's hope for you. Let's get something straight about angels. Oh, you don't want to see an angel, because if you see an angel, it means you're going to die. You're going to die. If you see an angel, you're going to die. You ever heard that? I've heard that. Oh, if an angel shows up in your bedroom at night, or if an angel shows up and talks to you, ooh, you're done. You're toast. Have you ever stopped and considered when angels showed up in the New Testament, they always showed up with good news? You ever notice angels didn't show up to cause harm and destroy? They showed up to let Peter out of jail. They showed up to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and after the temptation in the wilderness. They showed up to minister to people and understand. Now, don't misunderstand me. An angel of the Lord smote Herod and he was eaten with worms. Well, that's a little bit different story. Hello? You see, Herod was eaten up with worms before he got eaten up with worms, because Herod was an infected, he was wormy. And if you don't think he was wormy, just read a little more about it. He became very wormy, and he died. Well, Jesus done wormed me, so I'm in good shape. I know some folks that's real proud. I know some folks that... The preacher would never say what I just said. The church is too important. You folks are too dignified. You're just too important. Oh, the preacher would say, worms? Oh, my. Oh, my. That's not dignified. Well, the Bible says Herod was smitten with worms by an angel. He died. Amen. Amen. Amen? I remember when I got low on blood, we read somewhere where coconut water, if you get it straight out of the coconut, coconut water was good to rebuild your blood. I'd got down below a 6 in number of blood, so I was pretty low in blood. And so Judy decided that I was going to drink coconut water. And coconut water is extremely nasty. Now, you said, well, I love coconut water. I just go to the convenience store and get coconut. Yeah, but it's been doctored. You drink it straight out of the coconut, it's nasty. In fact, we read somewhere that they used coconut water in the war when they didn't have blood enough to give soldiers that had been wounded transfusions with the coconut water to mix it. And so Judy got the idea, drink your coconut water. I said, I'd rather die. About 2 swallows of that. And I used to tell my brother David, he'd tease me about drinking coconut water. Did he ever drink coconut water? Yeah, I figured that was the truth. Figured that's about the way it was, trying to get me to do it. But that coconut water is so nasty, I really believe that you could take it down to the graveyard and pour it on the grave, and they'd come up out of the grave spitting. It's that nasty. It has repulsive effects. It is gross. Now, why did I say that? I hadn't got a clue. Well, we're going to go back and catch this. We need to understand that angels are not here to give us hard time unless they have orders. In the Old Testament, angels did have orders to bring death. But in the New Testament, it's hard to find an angel doing that except with Herod. In the Revelation, they'll fly through the heavens and cry, "Whoa, whoa, whoa," into the inhabitants of the earth. And Revelation will be different, but after that, the church is gone. So, you know, and the angels are ministers to them that shall be heirs of salvation, according to the book of Hebrews. And so if an angel shows up in your bedroom tonight, don't get under the bed. If an angel shows up in your, don't say, "Oh, I'm a goner. I'm going to die." No, hear him out. Hear him out, because he will tell you, "Fear not, I bring you some news, some good tidings." Amen? Amen? You say, "Well, I see angels, but they never talk to me." Well, they're not worth nothing if they don't talk. I like for them to talk a little bit. Amen? You're going to come into my bedroom, you're going to talk. Hello? Angel comes in my house, they're going to talk. Bless God, if they don't talk, I'll get a hold of them. You say, "How can you get a hold of it?" Well, probably can't, but I'll try. Now, what I'm trying to say is these angels can appear and disappear. So don't get confused with the angels at the tomb when they were here and they were there, and because they appear. And do they really appear and disappear, or does the Lord open the eyes of people to see them? I think there's angels in this room right now. I think there's angels right behind me. I think there's angels in front of me. I think there's angels around every. I think your guardian angel is right beside you right now. Amen? Probably taking up two seats. No. The only place that it records an angel sitting was there in the young man, the two angels in the tomb, and they were sitting because it meant job completed. Angels stand. And so, there's many angels. I think there were zillions of angels at the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. The stone has been rolled away. Now let me just say a few quick things, and then we'll be done with the message. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Come on, is anybody getting anything out of this? Now understand, Gordon's Calvary, or the cross, the Bible's very clear that Jesus was buried in a tomb in a garden. It's very clear that Jesus, when he was put in a tomb, the tomb was in a garden. It's very clear. And I want you to know, when Jesus Christ came, the bread of life, the water of life, the light of the world, the life-giving power of God, when Jesus Christ came to earth, he was planted in a garden, and God raised a tree of life. Woo! God replanted the tree of life in that garden and raised Jesus Christ from the dead, for Jesus is the tree of life today. Now, are there literal trees of life? Yes, there is. And in the new city of Jerusalem, there will be. But right now, Jesus is our tree of life. He's the one we eat of and never die. He's the one that gives health to us. And we never die. He's the God of heaven and earth. So Jesus Christ was planted in a garden. What a seed. What a great plant that Jesus Christ put in the garden. Behold, notice the angel said, "Behold where they laid him." And I want to just simply say this real quickly. The stone was rolled away. I said the stone was rolled away. When the women came to put the spices on Jesus, in their mind, Jesus was decomposing. In their mind, Jesus, as they said of Lazarus, he stinketh by now. In their mind, Jesus was decomposing. But what if I was to tell you that no fly blowed the body of Jesus Christ? What if I was to tell you no stench came upon the body of Jesus Christ? In fact, Jesus Christ didn't even get rigor mortis. Hello? How many would agree that Jesus is the Holy One? Psalm 16, verse 10. David is speaking about the Lord, about God. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or Sheol or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. There is a prophecy right there of Jesus Christ that he would not see corruption. You say, well, he's talking about David. David was a lot of things, but Holy One he wasn't. Amen. Hello? Samson was a lot of things, but Holy One he wasn't. Elijah was a lot of things, but Holy One he wasn't. There's only one Holy One. His name's Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when he went to that tomb, he would not see corruption. He didn't even need the spices and the myrrh upon his body. He didn't even need the burial spices. That was not needed because he wasn't going to decompose. He's going to rise again from the grave. He's the risen Lord, the Savior of the world. He's broke the shackles of death, hell, and the grave. He's come up smelling like the sweet spices that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, and Martha had already put that ointment of love on him. And the spices on Jesus before he died was used to display God loves you as they beat Jesus Christ, as they beat him until his flesh allowed his intestines to begin to protrude out between his ribs. And as they pulled his beard from his face, and as they put crowns of thorn upon his head, they spit all over his face, and they hit him and with their fists and broke his nose and beat him. And it was not one place, but three different places they beat Jesus Christ, scourged him until he was no longer recognized as a human flesh, as a human being, so beaten and so, and then drive nails in his hands and nails in his feet, and there hang him on the cross, and there he's bloodletting and he dies, and the stench of death from the other thieves, but no stench of death from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through it all, the sweet smelling love, every time they hit Jesus Christ, the smell came up. I love you, because the spice and the anointment, that ointment that Mary used was called the ointment of love. And the aroma filled the house. Amen. See, how many ever got a hold of some perfume or cologne and it just got in you? I mean, just got in your pores. I can walk I can work in my garden and smell cologne come up when I get sweaty. But I can walk into my, we have a walk-in closet. Why? Because Judy made it that way. And I walk in the closet and I can smell myself. Now, it's a good smell myself. Some folks smell themselves and it's not a good sign. But the cologne, the smell of the clothes. And it's been years since I used cologne because Judy has a problem with sinus. But I still smell that because it stayed in the garments. And I want you to know that when something gets in the pores and gets down in, it stays. And Jesus Christ had already been embalmed for death. Now, also, Nicodemus brought 100 pounds of spice and wrapped Jesus in that as well. But the women need not do it because Jesus Christ had already risen from the grave. The women said, "Who shall roll away the stone?" And when they got there, they found out who should roll away the stone. It wasn't a man, it was an angel. And the angel descended and rolled away the stone. And they said, the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. I know you're seeking Jesus of Nazareth. Go tell the disciples that he's risen from the dead. He'll meet you in Galilee." And by the way, Galilee is where the disciples were commissioned. Galilee is where the disciples were first trained and guided. So he said, "I'll meet you at the starting place again." Now, I hope you're starting to get the drift of what we're saying. I want you to understand what we're talking about. Mark goes on in the rest of these verses I read to verse 14, where he talks about the Emmaus in Luke 24. He talks about the Emmaus road. He talks about the John 20, where Jesus met him in the upper room. John, I think it's 24, where the disciples met Jesus and they didn't believe who he was, and he ate fish and honeycomb to prove them that he was not just a spirit, but that he was flesh and bone as well, and they still didn't believe. And it goes on to talk about the different appearances of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that when that young man stood there in that tomb, he was saying, God has reversed everything they did to the Savior. The only thing that God has not reversed is his blood, his redeeming power. His work is finished. But I want you to know that when Jesus Christ raises us from the dead, God will reverse everything that attacks our mortal bodies. He's the God. How many glad God has a reverse? Amen. Amen. And so the stone cold truth of that empty tomb and that stone rolled away, the stone cold truth of pain and agony has been removed, rolled away. The stone cold agony and death and sorrow and agonism because of the death of a loved one, reversed. The stone's been rolled away. That stone cold fear and dread of facing God and dying in sin, the stone's been rolled away. It's all been rolled away. Hello. Said it's all been rolled away. Come on, rolled away, rolled away. Praise the Lord. Some songs says my burden of my heart rolled away. Amen. That's a rolling, ain't it? But I want to say to everybody in this room that Jesus Christ rose again from the grave. And they will never, when I say they, agnostic and atheist, will never find the dead body of Jesus Christ, because there isn't one. There was one, but there isn't one. Because the dead body of Jesus doesn't exist anymore. All that's been reversed. The Lord has risen from the dead. He's alive. And they'll never find a dead body of Jesus Christ, because the living body of Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for you and I. There's a man of God. There's a man, the Son of Man, sitting in heaven with nail prints in his hands, with nail pierced feet, with a pierced side. He bears the marks of the cross, but he is risen from the dead. And there's that man that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's called the Son of Man. He's called the Son of Almighty God. And today when he returns, he's returning back for us as the Son of Man. And when he returns back to the Mount of Olives, and this is after the rapture, this is 7 years later in the tribulation, when he returns, they'll look at him. When I say they, those that pierced him, and those that wounded him, and they'll look at him. And they'll say, well, where did you get that? As if they don't know. And Jesus will say, I got that in the household of my friends. You did this to me. And in one day, as a nation, Israel will turn to their Messiah. Isn't that good? It's found in the book of Zechariah. So I want to say to everybody in this room, he's risen. Woo! He's risen. He's alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. God is alive. He's no dead God. He's a living God. He went to the grave. He died. He rose again from the dead. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. And the tomb is still empty. The stone is still rolled away. Amen. And what a joy. Now, Mark on purposely didn't give all the details. And the reason Mark didn't is Mark is an action book. That's why it's the shortest book of the four Gospels. Mark is an action book. He gets in and says, this, this, and this happened. Now, let's move on to the next event. This, this, and this happened. Now, let's move on to the next event. Now, I have to be honest with you. That's okay, but it doesn't make good preaching. It makes good reading. But Mark was more impressed with the prophecies being fulfilled. That Jesus is who he says he was. That Jesus is the Son of God. He lives. I said he lives. Stand with me. Now we'll be back. We're going to finish the book of Mark next Sunday. In the book of Mark chapter 16, you have the resurrection, you have the commission, and you have the ascension. Next Sunday morning, we'll be talking about the commission and the ascension. I'm thankful for the book of Mark. I don't know where I'm going to go next after I do Mark. I don't know where I'm going to go. If you got some suggestions, I'll listen. The Lord will have the final say. In fact, Jesus has veto power in anything we do. But if you have a book that you'd like for me to take on, I probably already did most of them. I think I've done all of them but Matthew and Luke and Acts in the New Testament. But I'm open to suggestions. I may enjoy the book of Mark. I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed the book of John too. Luke is my least favorite because he writes like a doctor and you can't even read what he wrote. He always gets the cart before the horse. Have you ever stopped to think that Luke had John the Baptist beheaded before he baptized Jesus? Now that's a miracle. Did you know that? If you don't believe it, read the book of Luke. You'll discover that Luke said John the Baptist was beheaded, and then after that he says, and he baptized Jesus in Jordan. Not my kind of writer. Did it mean he was wrong? No. It just meant that he didn't have it in order. Typical doctor. Typical doctor. Amen. We're going to give an invite. He's a risen Savior. Has the Lord rolled that stone away in your life? Hello? Has the Lord rolled that stone away in your life? Is it rolled away? Is it rolled away? Is the burden of your heart rolled away? Is your sins rolled away? Is your life blessed? Do you see an empty tomb? Do you see a resurrected Savior? Do you see a God Almighty that can take you through? Who shall roll away the stone? God did. He used an angel. Who shall raise Jesus Christ from the dead? God did. He raised himself from the dead. Jesus did. Who shall get it done? God got it done. Amen. Praise the Lord. Altar's open as he plays and sings. You want to come and talk to the Lord?